Hello and welcome to another episode of Words With Myself.
Every face you see and every person that you meet is projecting an image of themselves onto the world. We act out a character, and the character that we decide to play depends on, commonly, our environment and our surroundings. That can change from person to person or from environment to environment, but we are always projecting this image of who we think we need to be, who we believe that others want to receive. This isn't just in the egotistical way in which we act a certain way in order to be liked, but also by the very way that we identify ourselves. If I was to truly ask you, who are you? Tell me, who are you? Would you be able to come up with a reasonable answer for that? You may say things like, I'm a tennis player or a writer. You may list some hobby or occupation. You may define yourself by the car you drive, or, you know, that we have loads of different ways of identifying ourselves. I'm the guy with this house, or I'm the guy that lives over the road, or John the woodworker, Mary the accountant. All these different ways that we categorize ourselves and put ourselves in a box in order to make ourselves definable and present ourselves in a certain light. But these things are not actually us. They're not you. That is not what makes you, you. And even if you describe a character trait, like I'm somebody who is insecure, I'm someone who is really confident, that is not you, because that is a temporary state of you. None of the things that you own or have or do can actually identify who you are. You are a collective of experiences in terms of an ego. If we're to describe the ego, we have all of these different ways of describing it and defining it, because we can identify the points that we believe make us us, even if they are conditional and temporary. And even that can get super weird when we start to drill down into it, because let's say I'm a writer, I'm a person who writes, but if I wasn't a writer, I would still exist, but would I exist as the same person I am now? So can I possibly say that I am separate from the writer? Can I be defined without that characteristic, because that is as much a part of me as I am a part of it? I am a writer, and if I wasn't to be someone who writes, I would be someone different. Yet, what you will see is that we also do this with other people. We hold people to these judgments that we make of them based on characteristics. We box them in to identify them because we want to know who people are. Yet, most of us have no idea who we truly are, and we're unable to define ourselves by something that is definite and permanent and perfect, like a good definition of what I actually am. For instance, am I merely the cells that make up for me? In which case, where am I? Where is the sentience? Where does Luke, the consciousness, exist? Where does that reside? Because you could say, well, that's the brain. But the brain would be nothing without this mouth to vocalize myself, or with these eyes to view the world upon. I do not exist without my ability to interact with the world. And yet, I also cannot trust my interactions with the physical world. Because if I close my eyes and I dream, and then I interact with other worlds, is that not still me? Am I still not a conscious being? And I've had dreams that are as real as this life feels. It feels like another existence, another timeline that is just as permanent, just as real as this one we're in right now. So even to identify myself, the true self, as who I am right now, in this timeline, in this physical world, I can't truly say that that's all I am. Because once you begin to separate the ego, you can almost see that there is no end to that separation. And in fact, rather than a separation, you move into a unification of you with everything else, a universal unification. You kind of see that even in terms of your physical form, that you are made up of a chemical compound and a mixture of atoms and matter. And when you see that the world outside of the edges of your skin, if you look at your hand and you look at the very outline of your hand, you can't truly see where that begins and where it ends. Like, where does the oxygen outside the fingertips start and the oxygen beneath the skin end? You can't see those layers. If you were to zoom all the way in to the very, very edge of your fingertip, where it's half fingertip, half air outside it, and you were to zoom right the way in to the atomic level, all you would see was a mixture of atoms moving about, a mixture of molecules moving about. And you would not be able to define where you begin and the world outside you ends or begins. All you would see was this constant mass. You would see that you are no different from the universe outside of yourself. And yet we identify ourselves with this flesh, with this consciousness, with this ego. But instead, we are a temporary incarnation of the universe, a conscious reflection of the universe, a chosen experience. And we identify too seriously with what we think is us, what we think defines us. And when we see things like, we say, make statements like, oh, this is me, or I can't make that change, or that's not who I am, it's very hard for you to actually see who you truly are. It's very hard to really get to the bones of where you exist and where is the programming and the conditioning. Would you be the way that you are if that hadn't been a force of society? If the rules were completely open and you could do whatever you wanted to do and there was kind of no social cues or any of that kind of thing that make you feel like you have to act a certain way without stigmatism, of course you could probably see that you'd be very, very different from now. And not necessarily better or worse, but you would just be very different. You would have made different decisions, because we have all made decisions in our life where we are making those decisions because we believe that that is what the world wants from us. What will bring us love or acceptance or appeasement of others? Like, what will bring us closer to others rather than feeling like we're stuck on the outside? But because of this, and over the years, we end up developing this character and investing so much time and effort into curating it. We obsessively, you know, mold and shape and craft ourselves into this thing that we think is enough. We think that that is who we need to be or what we need to do. And a lot of us feel a really heavy sense of burden and duty in order to upkeep this persona, this person that we've created. That if we change, that we betray this identity that we've spent so much time curating. And really, it's okay. Like, that is the nature of life, to change, to adapt and to grow. And we need to let ourselves change and adapt and grow. And I think that does happen later on in life. You know, you feel like you should have it all figured out, rather than when you're younger and you're kind of still looking, you start to believe that you should really have a good sense of who you are by now. And that kind of only compounds, but you realize that, you know, it's not really something you can know. It's something that is always changing. So rather than looking for this fixed point or this certain person that you're looking for yourself to be, instead relax and let go and just see, who do you want to be today? What decisions do you want to make right now? You know, what do you want to represent right now? And as soon as that starts becoming more of a hindrance, that persona that you've created, and it's not something that you're enjoying doing. In fact, I think Jim Carrey was saying that depression is when you get tired of the character that you're playing. And I really like that idea. I think that that is very true. You know, we get obsessed with this specific identity, this who we are, and we identify with our pain so much, as well as everything else that we're doing. And all of a sudden, you kind of realize that you can actually let that go, that you can be different, that you can adapt and not hold yourself to this suffering anymore. Like, you don't have to be that person. You don't have to do these things. You are instead trapping yourself in your own hell. You've believed what you've tried to convince yourself over all of these years. And if you were telling yourself for ages that you're not capable and that you're a load of rubbish and that you're a failure, you're going to have convinced yourself of that. But that doesn't make you that. And it doesn't mean that you're permanently going to be that. It just means that you need a change in your mindset or your own perception of yourself. It's okay to let go of our old image of ourselves, of who we thought we needed to be happy. You may think that you need, or you may have thought that you needed money or whatever to be happy. And then in hindsight now, you might be able to recognize that actually, you know, I'm spending all this time at work and that's not really what's going to give me fulfillment or make me happy. It's okay to be like, you know, I'm actually going to focus on what's going to fulfill my purpose and actually give me life rather than just kind of going every day to a job that I don't like. But if you have identified that as the most important thing is going and getting money, then it actually does take a lot of courage to then say, you know, I might have wasted the last, well, not wasted, but I may have been spending the last 20 years, you know, trying to make myself happy in a way that I now know was never going to work. And you can either just keep throwing resources at it like a gambler who, you know, is trying to make up for his losses and hope that, you know, one day it will be enough to make me happy and one day I'll get there if I just keep investing. Or you cut your losses and you say, you know what, I'm actually going to change direction. I'm actually going to pull myself out of this and pivot to something that I actually want to be doing or that a place that I want to be. And rather than feeling like we are fixed as ourselves and we're trapped in our own identity, our own sense of self, we can actually liberate ourselves from this and say, who do we want to be? So ask yourself, who do you want to be? And if you can come up with a picture, if you can conceptualize this person and say, you know, I would really rather be like this person, this version of myself. I still want to be me, but I want to be a version of myself that is powerful and capable and, you know, is doing the stuff that they want to be doing, is on mission, is achieving the things that I want to be achieving, or just doing the things that I want to be doing. The only thing that you need to do in order to do that is to do the things that that person would do. For instance, if you want to be strong, then when it comes to being strong, you must do what a strong person does. And the universe will present those challenges for you and say, hey, you want to be strong? Well, I'm going to give you things that are very tough and you're going to have to overcome these obstacles, which are very difficult because you want to be strong. And even if you say something like, I just want to be happy, it may show you deep, deep, deep sadness so that you can say, well, I've come out of deep sadness and, you know, I've realized all that I've got to be thankful for and I'm so happy now, because before I was kind of spoiled and wasn't grateful for all the things that I had in my life and I was so miserable and wrapped up in my own issues and creating this hell for myself that I can now liberate myself from and actually say, you know what, I can be who I want to be, I can do what I want to do, and I can be happy now. And that lesson won't always come in the way that you think it will. It won't always come in the way that you expect it to. But if you dedicate yourself and you want to do something, then move in that direction. You don't have to be who you are now. So once again, ask yourself, who do I want to be? Thank you for listening.